bless you. Let's pray. This morning, Lord, the children are gathered together, Father, to meet with you. And I believe, Lord God, that you are here. Now we pray, just like you've been in the song service, Father, that you come around again, Lord God, and speak to us. That is our desire, Lord. That's where we come, Father. We didn't come to hear man, Lord. We come to hear you, our Father. We want to commit ourselves to you, Lord. Take over, Father, is our prayer. And speak now. Feed your children, Lord God, as the song goes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Get seated. Get seated. Thank you. It's good to be home again. And thank you. Thank you for the reception. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you. I don't think I can thank you enough for the help and everything. Participation in my trip and things like that. I would say that you really helped me. I was comfortable. And thank you very much. And may God bless you. May God bless each one of you. I'm sorry. I was trying to stream the pictures, and I was wondering how I can stream the pictures from my iPad. And you know, I'm very illiterate on these things. I'm not technologically. I'm poor. So my wife helped me, and he told me to throw them to Michael. But again, I forgot to tell Michael what to do with them. So I don't think he knows. So I do that, Michael. And if you don't get them now, we can get them another day. All those pictures, and but there are very, very many pictures. I think I threw pictures to Michael. If you need something, my wife, you can just go to Michael and tell him. No problem. If you think you can do something, but no problem. I just threw them to him, and I'm sorry. And I did that this morning. So, but that's okay. That's okay. And then I threw so many of them. I should have just thrown a few, but again, there were so many. He might not even know which to throw there. I mean, and to display. But that's okay. There are very many of them preaching, the groups there. But I would say it was a very, very successful trip. And I'm really thankful to the Lord for that. And we're going to go to it. Before we go to that, let's read a quote here. I felt this report is important. This report is very important. But I feel like so preaching the word. I like it. So I'm gonna preach a bit. I'm sorry. I'm gonna preach a bit at the same time. Even I'm gonna give the report, but you allow me to preach just a bit. I think preaching is also very important. This report is also important. But you allow me to preach a bit. There's a quote there. The quote is in the book called "It Is the Rising of the Sun." Let's read that. I feel like is a very, and he says the same, but in the book called "Leicester Seal," 1965. But this one, he's more stronger here than in the Easter Seal. But it's the same idea that he has with this quote. The quote is found in "It Is the Rising of the Sun," paragraph 65, and it says like this: "Now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he is risen from the dead, that statement there is risen from the dead. He's quoting it from the Bible. He's bringing it from the Bible that he's risen from the dead. He's quoting from the Bible. Instead of putting his risen from the dead, now you can put the essence of the message that he's come now. He's come and gotten a bride. That's what he's talking about here. But he puts it there. He refers it to the Bible, the very essence that he's risen from the dead. So now he's risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries. We, the bride, is the beneficiary of his coming. Because the second coming was simply to take a bride. That is what he was coming to do. And when he came and took a bride, all the other churches were judged. So it is in judgment. The coming is in judgment. In judgment to the world. But to the bride, he took the bride. I'm not preaching, I'm just reading that. That's clear. So the essence of that, the essence that he's come and taken a bride, the essence of that, this is what he's talking about. We are his beneficiaries. The bride is the beneficiary of that. We who share the resurrection. We who share the resurrection. That was quite a resurrection. He says, the life that was in him, if it's in you, the true life, the new life, the wholeness of the life, the wholeness of Christ in you. Okay. we draw benefits from this by proving to the world, this is what you do. When you have him, the work, the purpose of him coming and taking charge in you and getting it to you was to display him. It's to show him. That is how when he marries you, we were talking about that. We had a fireplace in my place. Joe brought some firewood and things like that, and we sat around the fire and we talked about this. And one of the things is how we were talking about that. And the thing is, how do you even bear a baby for Christ? How do you bear a baby for Christ? And we were trying to see that in that fireplace. And everywhere Christians are, I like to be there because they talk nothing but this word about God and fellowshipping. It's so sweet like that. So we were talking about that. How do you bear a child for Christ? Now you are married, you are wife, how do you bear? And I was trying to show them that that baby that you bear is your life. That's right. That's right. That's the purpose of it. You're married. Now your work is to bear a child for Christ. So they see somebody, you arrive here, is a baby. And they can see that baby that is your life. And they can look at him and look at Christ. And surely they look alike. Because your life now is displaying Christ here or not. That's a baby. That's a child for him like that. And that is our work. Our work is to live here this life of Christ that is come. We show it. In our lives, and everybody on earth, let them see that Christ has come, is here. And I'm married, I belong to somebody, and my life, I have a baby, I have a child, I have a son. Praise be to God. He drew benefits from him, from this. By proving to the world that he is alive, we cannot do it by word only. We cannot just, you know, when and I'm going to talk about that a bit today, if I get a chance, about Revelation 10. You know, when he was told to read the book, and you'll be sweet in the mouth and bitter. You produce him. When you eat him, you produce him. You show the world who you are. That's the purpose that you hear or not. And he's like, you cannot do it by word. Not only saying it. When you say it, it's very sweet. But that's not the only thing that you do by saying it. When you say it, it's very good, it's sweet. When you say he's come, he's here, and showing it and proving it with a word. That's good. That's good. That's very good. But how about your life? Remember, actions speak louder than words. Amen. The one that really speaks very loud is your life to the world. How do you live? Praise be to God. We cannot do it by word only. We can do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we are pointing to. We reflect what we are really pointing to. And that's just a quote. I was just trying to give myself a reason to give this report and the reason why I go there. And it's good. And may God help us. Wherever we are, we display this that is come. We display it. We show it by our lives. And that's good. So I'm going to go to the trip report. So you all remember that I left here on Monday, and I'm not going to say anything, everything. I'm just going to just cut it short. But it was a very successful trip. They had tried to tell me not to go because it was still not very good. The war was going on. So they even cut my trip, my ticket. They said I can't go. And then I was feeling. And all this time they are saying I cannot go. There's war. All that time I was feeling I'm going. Even when the ticket was cut, I was feeling somehow, oh God, I don't know what was telling me that, but I felt like that. I never thought that I would not go at any one single time. They even one time told me, and even when I got there, they told me about 5 minutes from where I slept, it was bombed. It was bombed just about 5 minutes away. And I asked Moon. Moon is one of the people there that really is good. He's a young boy. He's a young boy. His father is the pastor, Akram. Brother Akram is very, very good. Oh, everybody is very, very good. Brother Akram is a great man, the pastor. He doesn't know English very much. You can chat with him on chat, but when it comes to talking, so you may not know him very much, very well. But he's a great man. Brother Akram is everybody is very good. Everybody there. You think that it's a Muslim country, and you think that they are not people who are little Christians who are really studying on this. The little they know, those guys are good. Those guys are good. And another thing I would like to say is that it was a bit odd. The flight from Dubai, because I went through Dubai. The flight from Dubai to Lahore. Lahore is like where I was going. That's where they live. It's north of Pakistan. It's very interesting. The whole flight, I was the only black guy. And I had a hat, a cowboy. It's got a cowboy hat. And that showed like I'm an American. So even though I'm black, I'm a cowboy. and everybody looked at me. The whole flight, the black guy is only me. And as you know me, I'm everywhere. I'm okay. I don't feel shy or anything. I'm greeting them hi and going around like that. And everyone looks at me. And then I alighted. And then when I alighted, they were like, why are you coming here? I said, you know, I had a tourist visa. I said, what is wrong in coming to here? There's nothing wrong with coming here. And he said, why don't you go to Britain and other places in Europe? I said, no, my desire is here. Why? Anybody can choose anywhere. And of course, I had some kind of, not trouble, but they took me around. And they told me that there are some people in Nigeria who came there. And when they're giving the passport, they give the passports. With some money in them, some dollars in them, and they give to them. And that shows, then why are you giving money? The Nigerians who want to bribe because they have drugs or anything like that. I said, they do that, and therefore, now I'm considered just like, I didn't do that, but they say, but I'm black like them, so I can't go through this. They went to an x-ray. They had an x-ray. They took me in an x-ray where they x-rayed my stomach. Because they told me, I don't know these things, now they're telling me, because the people swallow those things. Yeah. And then, I didn't know that. Now they're telling me this. So they why am I going all through this? Just because you don't want me in Pakistan? I said, no, we got to do this because that's how, I think they don't want to say black, but that's how the black Nigerians are doing. But I said, that's okay. Do whatever you want to do. They took me around and they finally found out I'm a good guy. So they said sorry. So they said they're sorry, and then we go. But I stayed in the airport for quite some time, and all this time I'm going everywhere. Even the soldiers are looking at me. I'm the only guy that is black. Nobody in the whole airport. I'm the only guy and not only black, so black. You know, they are me and Gabriel and Bosco. We are too black. You know, there's some people who are light skinned and things like that. But again, I've never gone to a country where, you know, in Uganda, you can go to Uganda, you can go to African countries, but one is in a whole, you see a white man there and here, you see a white man. Here, everybody, many people are white, but once in a while, once in a while, there are very many blacks. But I'm telling you, I never saw a black man in Pakistan. No black man in Pakistan. Of course, the place I went. No black man. All of them are just light skinned. But another thing is, with all my blackness and things like that, they respected me so much. They treated me like a king. I remember, before I come to that, let me show you something. We went to a place, another thing. I've never heard a place, we talk about summer here, there's nothing here. This is not hot. It's like cooking there. It's like cooking. I've never had that kind of heat. So now, we are here. The only thing they have, they don't have the air conditions. They're poor people. So the only thing they have is the fence, you know, going around. And in a room like this, there are about five of them. Fence, just blowing. Now, I'm preaching this place. I'm telling you how they treated me. I'm preaching this place, and I'm preaching and preaching and preaching. I'm sweating. My shirt is completely wet and everything like that. I'm preaching like that. And the power went out, pack, like that. There are no fence, no nothing now. And everybody's now doing something to me. And this guy come. That's how much they treated me. That's how much they respected me with that something too. What do you call that?
Fan.
The fan. That's, and brother, until I finished preaching, when I went to sit down, he was still there. Me sitting down eating, and I felt for him. But I felt so good because I didn't want to tell him to stop. But I felt so good. But I felt for him because he's just doing that to me like that. I ate until the lights come back. That's how much they respect you. That's how much he respected me. So I didn't feel like I'm a black guy and I'm being, no. I feel like I'm above them. I mean, that's the feeling they make you feel. Like you're above them. Like you're like, of course I'm not. But they make you feel like, no, you're very important. And everything they did was very, very, very good. Now, one time, and I'm just showing how good these people are. Great, Brother Don. I would like you people to go there. They are good people. They are real brothers. They love you. They love you so, and you see it. They're not making it up. You see it. They love you. They can do anything for you. So this time I didn't eat. When I got there, I feel like I don't want to eat because I didn't go nowhere. I did not go nowhere until the first day. The first day I went, they took me to the museum and like that because I was not preaching. I just decided to rest. But any other day, I was coming back to the hotel, studying and praying like that. So now I decided not to eat one of the dish. I just wanted to just not to eat like that. That's a bad thing. They don't have Gatorade, they don't have that. So when you get dehydrated, you can die. And it's so hot, that's the mistake that I made. And my stomach was running, and I felt like I want to go like that. It was bad. So after, and I told God, no, Lord, I need to. You know, my mind is just on the pulpit. I want to be in the pulpit. I want to deliver that thing. I want it so bad. So I told God, please, can you allow me just to go to the pulpit and bring this message and like that? That's what he did. When I finished, they were giving me a place to sit. I could not. And I wanted to go to the bathrooms. I wanted to throw up. They took me on a bike. And my shirt, I took my tie, and they did my shirt like that. And they took me, you know, and I think that I say, brother, those people are poor. They're poor people. They don't have the facilities that we have. It looked like in their conditions, they look like they are rich. But it's a poor country. They have nuclear, they have everything. But the people themselves are a bit poor. So even the bathrooms are not. So they want to give me the best bathroom. So they took me away from the place of the convention on a bike. And they just, and I'm just holding like that. And they're driving and doing like that. And the problem with that is, you know the breeze that you can feel from the motorbike when they're doing? It's hot. It's also hot. Everything is hot. Everything is hot, brother. I remember one time I opened they have a van. That does not have, it belongs to the church, and they're trying to pay for it. And if you can contribute to help them pay for that, it's also good for the van to help in the services of God there. Well, they have this van. And so I decided, because it doesn't have the air condition, I can open the window so that when they're driving, and they're on the road, and I opened it. You know that breeze that comes? You want to shut the door, you want to shut that window, because it's hot. That breeze is hot, very hot. It's burning you. I've never had anything like that in my life. It's very hot. And my wife, I told my wife how it is, and she checked. She said, "What?" I think you said it's 120 something degrees, 112 something like that. Very hot. I mean, it's burning you, and it feels hot. I don't know whether it's because of the desert. And I was looking in the map because we passed through Dublin when we were coming, and then. And we went to Dublin and we missed our flight and we stayed there. So in Dublin, I looked at it. It's not very in latitude, it's almost the same place with Pakistan and Dabrin. And Dabrin is so cold. It's even summer is not summer. Is this your summer? They said, this is not summer. It's so cold. You could have a jacket in summer in Dabrin. I said, I've never seen anything like that. And it's the same line like Pakistan. So I wonder whether Pakistan is because it's in desert. I don't know what the problem is. But it's hot. Hot. I'm telling you, hot. So where I went to the bathroom, where they took me for the bathrooms, people are, you know, it's a storied building, and there are people up and down there. So people are sleeping outside, you know, like on the balcony. Those are where the beds are. And where they put me, where they took me, there were a father, I think a son, and a daughter sleeping in different beds and laying there without nothing. They just like that. And they're not. That is not helping. That is still hot. That is still hot. But it's better than in the house. I'm telling you. It's quite an experience. And then if you for them, you'd like, if I had money, I would like to take Moon and their family and Akram and put some air conditions in their houses. Although they don't have a house, is a rented house. But anyway, I left here on that day, and I arrived on that on 14th. 14th, I didn't do nothing. I just stayed in the hotel room. But they came and took me to the museum. There's some pictures there. Sometimes we will see them. Sometimes Brother Michael will see them. We went to the museum, and they have a very good museum of different religions. You can see different religions. They also have, in the part of the Christianity, I think they have Queen Victoria of, Queen Victoria of England or something like that. And I took some pictures there with that. But you can understand what they believe, what if it's Buddha, what they believe and what they have. It's also very educative. You can understand why they worship this God, Hindu, and like that. All those religions, you can see that. And it was good. That's the only day. I didn't go nowhere else except that. Every day I was in my room, from my room. And they wanted me to go everywhere. I said, I feel like I just want to. You know, the thing that you feel like you're not having God enough. I don't know whether I can describe that. You want more. You want to be before God more. And it's not getting enough. You feel like you don't have enough even to preach to them. You don't know. I mean, I don't know whether you people have that kind of feeling. You want to stay there so that you're feeling like you're fearing to go. When you go into other things, you not be able to deliver the right thing to the people, you know, a feeling like that. And I wanted to stay. They tried to visit me. I said, I don't even want visits. Because they still visited me, but I limited them. They would have wanted to stay with me like that. I just wanted to, when I was preaching. But finally, we had some time with him, and I relaxed a bit after some time, and like that. But 14th was just a place where a day that I had with him that day. On 15th, that was on Thursday, that was the beginning of the convention. We had a very successful thing, and I was preaching on the second coming of the Lord, and that he has come, because I don't have anything else to say. If I don't deliver that he's come, that's the message of the hour. And I'm very strict that it's not everywhere. The message of the hour is not everywhere. That because you believe in the prophet, I'm not everywhere. I'm on this. He has come. He's here. I'm very strict on that. And I try to bring it to them. And I found some resistance. I don't have a problem with resistance. I don't have a problem with people seeing differently. The only thing I require is for somebody to behave right. You understand that? Yeah, and I respect your stand on anything. I don't care. I don't care. I don't want you to be a hypocrite, to pretend that you're seeing like I'm seeing and you're not seeing. I don't like that. I like people being what they are. If you don't see it, you don't see it. No problem. And it's not your, do you know something else? It's not even your fault. If you actually, you don't see it and it's true that you don't see it, it's not your fault. Because you cannot show it to yourself. Amen. I cannot show it to yourself. So it's not your fault. Just leave it there. This is where God has reached you, and that's okay. Tomorrow, the other day, he will, if he wants to. And he does that when he wants to do it. Don't hate people because they don't see it. Don't feel bad because they don't see it. Don't discriminate them. Don't persecute them. And you know, I was feeling sometimes like we persecute people. We persecute people because they don't see. When you segregate them and show them like they are lesser because they don't see and you're here, that's segregation. Don't persecute people because they don't see.
Yeah.
You've not shown yourself.
Right.
You've not shown yourself. So just pray for them. God, as much as you've shown me, please show them. You can throw a quote there for them. If they don't see even, who told you that because of you throwing quotes to them, they're supposed to see? Who told you that? Those quotes you are throwing to them, they have read them. But God has not opened their eyes to see them. And who tells you you must always be right? Who tells you? Calm down, brother. Calm down, sister. Let me tell you something. You can be wrong yourself thinking that you're right.
Amen.
Be humble.
Amen.
Let's all be humble. Let's love one another. Whether people see things or they don't see things, let's humble ourselves and love one another. Be like the prophet. Did you see the prophet throwing people away and persecuting people? I remember one time, and I'm on report. I'm not preaching. But remember this boy. You know, the prophet had talked so much about women and how women should not wear this, should not wear this. And it was so hard on women. And this boy, he was a young boy. And he came to the prophet. And the people were preventing him from talking to the prophet. And he said, no, I have got to talk to the prophet. He said, no. And the prophet saw them, and he said, no. These are his words, actually. You can Google that, and maybe you can find that. I don't know. He said, let the young man talk to me. That's what he said. Let the young man talk to me. And then said, the boy told him, I think, Branham, I think that the reason that you are so hard on women is because you're an old man. And the prophet said, son, how old are you? And he said, when I was in your age, I was saying the same things.
Amen.
Praise be to God. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter that they are not against you. Let them talk to you. Let the young man talk to me. I love that, Brother Don. Let the young man talk to me. Talk. Whenever there's people that are disagreeing with me, they are ready to listen to me. 100 times I'll go. 1,000 times I'll go and talk to them.
Praise God.
You know, in Kenya, I've told them one time because, you know, Brother Don gave me a computer. Those days, when I got this revelation, Brother Don gave me a, and that really helped me, that computer. So now, and I was going to a place like this. There are 50 people gathered together, and the only person who is saying different is me. And you know what I said? And they could search, you know, they had the books. We all had books those days, but I'm carrying my computer now. I was telling them, no, don't worry. Don't look at those books. Just tell me what it says that you want to hit me with, and I'll get it for you. They want quotes to fight me. Do you see that? And I'm telling them, now tell me what it says. Just, if you have an idea of what it says, just tell me. I'll take it and give it to you. I don't believe this. Anybody, if I have the revelation, I don't think this, every quote is mine.
Right.
Every quote is mine. So bring it on. And I am going to help you get it.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. This is not war of blood and flesh. It's not war of blood and flesh, brothers.
Amen.
It's truth against force. Just relax. I was feeling like it's a denominationalism. I feel like it's a denominationalism when you segregate people and say this, believe this. They are not with me, and this. I'm like, no, I don't care what you believe. If you are led to reason. And also listen, why do I think that you should, why do people think that you should listen to them and that they should not listen? Why do people, if I want you to listen to me, also let me be ready to listen to you. Who do you think I am? Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Who do you think I am? That you must only listen to me and I should not listen to you. Listen to them. When you listen to them, they will be ready to listen to you. But when you come with that, with like, it's me who knows it and you don't know it, that does not help. You now have the wrong attitude. Amen. That wrong attitude is not going to help nobody. Praise be to God. So I don't know how I got to that, but I'm sorry about that. Okay. So now I preached about the second coming there, and I really, the people were not agreeing, and I told them no. And I found out that they were not agreeing. It's not that they didn't do anything. It's not that they did anything, but I don't know. You just see people and you see that they are disagreeing, and I told them, you are disagreeing. And they didn't say no, so I realized I was right. I had disagreeing. At least there were very many ministers there. And one of the pictures, you can see me, I took a picture with the ministers, and they were disagreeing. I said, it doesn't matter whether you see it the way I see it, no problem. And I told them, we are not parting. We are not parting. And this is a saying now that they have there. They're just joking with it now. They're in Pakistan in those churches. Because I said, no, don't worry. Even if you don't see just like I do, don't worry, you're still my friend. We're going to still be together. We're not parting. And I told them, and I can buy you a cup of tea. I can go somewhere and I buy a cup of tea because you're my friend. And every time they're throwing a quote, especially Brother Moon is telling me, Brother, I don't see it. It's not that I want a cup of tea, but I don't see it the way you do. It's not that he wants me to buy him a cup of tea. That's why he's disagreeing. But I just don't see it the way you do. And I love Moon. I love that brother. That brother, I'm telling you, Brother Moon is a Christian. That boy is a Christian. He's a young boy. He's not even married. And I told him, God willing, if he's marrying, whenever he marries, I would like to go for his wedding. He's a good, Brother Don, I would like you to meet Moon. He's just Moon. He's just who he is. He doesn't pretend. He doesn't do nothing. If he doesn't, you know, we are fellowshipping. We are fellowshipping. And I was telling him about, and we had a group of people. We had a group of people, very big group of people. And I was telling them how about Moses and Elijah and how they have come and things like that. And then Moon is a funny guy. He sneaks a quote. He's not disagreeing with me. He knows. He says, right, brother. And then he sneaks here underneath his phone. He gives a quote that that says that when we are reading about Moses and Elijah, that does not apply to the... It's in the Feast of the Trumpets. I've seen it. and then he wakes up his head. He says, but I'm not asking for a cup of tea. That's not why he's disagreeing. He's a good brother. I'm telling you, he's a good brother. And he was my interpreter. I wasn't able to help him. He has problems. But that's a good brother. That's a good brother. I would like to buy him something to help him in study. He doesn't have an iPad. I would really like to, if I get money. Because he studies from the books and from his phone. And he's doing a good job. That was great. So I was preaching about that, and I found that they were not. And finally, when they found out that I don't care, the spirit is in many churches. The spirit is, you don't see like me, you go west, I go east. When they realize I don't care about that, they all now come together, even after the service, they want us to go there and discuss it more. They are now relaxed, and they are now even wanting to listen to me. I just like that, brothers, by the grace of God. And we talked, and some of them said, well, okay, we didn't see it that way. They are seeing some things now, they are not seeing it. So the following day, now they were relaxed. They were so good and relaxed, and whatever I said, they said it. You can see they are accepting everything. And I liked it. We had a very, very good 2 days convention, and there were very many people. And we rented a hall and like that. That was on 5th and 6th. On 16th, that was on Friday, I preached about the two sounds. You know my way of looking at what the prophet said about the Thessalonians, the shout, the voice. You know how I see it. So I just put it there before them. And they were very happy about that, and like that. Now, I preached every day. When I was in Pakistan, I preached every day. So on 17th, that was on Saturday, they took me to a denominational church. And brothers, I'm telling you, I did bad there. I did. I would say I didn't like it because they were afraid that they were preaching to them. They were trying to preach to them to bring them to the message, and now they were telling me. And I went with that kind of fear. They were telling me, brother, be careful, be careful, be careful like that. And I don't like that. I say I don't like that. But I don't want also to hurt them. And I felt, brothers, I really felt like I'd underperformed. I really felt like I had underperformed before them. They had the ancient, you know, in those places, even in India, they receive you with flowers like that and show of love like that. And all that made me not be my, I felt like, let me say in short, I had underperformed. I felt I beat myself so bad. But of course, Moon and the rest of them were saying, brother, how did you get that? I preached about a man running from the presence of the Lord and how you cannot run. How can you run from the presence of the Lord? How can you run from the presence? The Lord is omnipresent. You cannot run from him. And I was telling them that. And the only way you can run from the presence of the Lord is run from his word. When you run from his word, now you run from his presence. You're not with God at all. Okay, like that. And I was telling them that. And they were saying how much I did good, but I beat myself until I had to make it up. So when we went and gathered again in that evening after that service, when we went somewhere, I started it again. Just trying to make it up. And we had a very good time that evening. And now this, you know, is not preaching because they are also answering back what I'm saying. And they will say, yes, you said it. You said it. And telling them, I didn't hear myself say that time. And I'm just beating myself. How did I? You know, you feel like you wasted. When, I don't know, I know Don has done better than me in fields, he's gone. But when you're there, this is God's time. You don't want to waste it. Do you understand what I mean? You don't want to waste it. Every bit of it, you want to give to God. You want to give all to God. You know, we don't want to waste time. I don't know whether I've got back again. So I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. That's why I don't want even to waste time. So that night I felt like I wasted time, but I made it up. I felt like I made it up when we gathered together eating and the people were so happy. And maybe it's me thinking that I've not done it because everyone was happy, but you feel like you've not done something. Okay. So on the 18th, we went to Brother Akram's church and that's where it was a Brother Akram's sister church. They have a sister church. I think his brother or somebody is the one who, the pastor there. And there, that's when the lights went. And that guy came and was doing that. And he did that for a long time. Another thing, when we went to this church, is the place that we went, it was like a slum, but big buildings. They are high-rise, big buildings, storied buildings. And but it's like a slum because one is there like that. There are streets there. So you could go around the streets like that. And every street, every corner of the street, that was Sunday. I think that was on Sunday, 18th. That was on Sunday, I think. So every corner of the street, there's a soldier there with a machine gun, with an AK-47 they're starting. And I said, what are they doing? I said, what are they doing? They said that this is Sunday and every church is gathering. And sometimes Muslims don't like it. That's scary a bit, eh? But you know what? It doesn't touch me at all. Even when they tell me that, I said, are you going to come again? I said, yes. I don't care. And you know, when they were telling me, don't come, I said, no. Are you there? I told them, are you there yourself? That's what they're telling me to cancel my ticket. I said, are you there yourself? They said, yes. Okay, I'm coming to be with you. I mean, if you're there, what is wrong with me being with you? I want to be with you. That's what I want, to be with you. So whether they are bombing or not, and if you die, and one of these days, you're going to die. If I die in the field working for my father, what is wrong with that? I just go, I don't die. And you know another thing, Medicine, I don't die. Right. I just move to my next, like that. I know I have my children and everything, but we have a purpose here. You cannot die until God wants you to go. And when my time comes to go, I want to get to step there and step in my the orphan. That's all. That's all, brothers and sisters. And that. The only thing is to do is just be ready. Let your heart be clean. Let your heart be right. That's all. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I know those things are hard. It's easier said than, done. But sometimes you feel like that. I want to be, if God wants me there. And I don't know why I had that. I had so much. And I want to go again. I want to found it. I desire. We people, let's found those people, because I can't do it alone. Let's found those people on this. Let them make, I want them, whoever goes, I want them to be founded on this, because they want it. They want it. I want to found them. I want them on this. Praise be to God. I desire that. It's a good, sweet bunch of people. They're good. They're so good. And they want it. It doesn't matter whether you are saying things that is against them, against what they believe. It doesn't matter. They're going to listen. And they say, what about this? Okay, that's where they connect. Okay. Now, it's up to them to go study. From there, I just leave them. Praise be to God. And I really love that. Now, that's where I had those people trying to. And on 19th, we went to a denomination of people. On 18th, that was another, I think that was a Monday. That's on Monday. Now I was to leave on Wednesday. So they didn't have transport. So the only transport they had was this vehicle. And we looked at from the balcony in the house up there. We looked, and there was a very serious traffic jam. No movement, no nothing. They said, no, we can't go with this van. The van does not have any air condition. It's heat is so bad, I'm going to burn in the vehicle. They don't care themselves, but they said, we cannot take you there. And I don't know. I'm asking. They're talking in their language. And I'm asking, what is the problem? Why can't we go? You know, I don't care walking. I don't care riding. When this comes that I want to bring it, I don't care how we go there. I want to go there. I won't be there. So I don't care. And they said, no, you can't go. You can't go. This is bad. And they said, why? Why? And we said, they almost canceled it. I told them, no, don't cancel it. Don't cancel it. They wanted to cancel that, and they said, no, they said, don't cancel it. Whatever time, if they can wait for me, I can walk there, but they said it's far. So finally, they caught somebody with a car that has air condition. He's also a brother from someplace. I don't know how he came. but he came, he was there. So I got in the car, and we went there. And brother, I realized why God wanted that, or was bringing all that, because at one point I felt like I don't know where I am exactly, but the anointing was so great and so good, and it was so great, and I loved it. So I think the devil did not want that, and there are a lot of brothers and sisters saying, you mean it's like that? We've never seen it like that. And when you hear people say like that, you realize that at least God has helped them at least a bit. And you love that. Now they have something to look at, and they can go with it. They can now go with it, and looking at it further and further, God can help them. And I liked it. And then I realized, when we came back from there, I realized that without traffic jam, because even with the car, we didn't follow the road. We followed at the roots like that, until we got there. I realized it was very short. I said, we could have walked here. We could have walked. I could have walked. Maybe it's like from here. Maybe you see the pictures as you go to Midden. It's like from here to that. And I can walk there. I mean, we could have walked. Another thing, when you go there, those people, I'm telling you, they respect a preacher. Because I'm a preacher, they don't want me to get tired like that. But I can walk. I can. They don't know that I'm from Africa. So in Africa we walk. Yeah. But here you don't have a vehicle to bring you here. No. You walk. Sister Eden, you walk. You walk here. So like that. So they don't know that. So I had a very good time. And so in that denomination church, we preached very well that Monday. And then I went back home on Tuesday. On Tuesday, the following day, I went back home. Interestingly, I left Pakistan and I come on Tuesday and I come to Kenya. And I arrived on Tuesday again. Because of the timeline, the difference time. I arrived on Tuesday again. And when I just put my bags down like that, they got me. My boss got me from Nairobi. When I got to my house, I started seeing people coming and said, "What is it?" He said, "It's fellowship day. It's a church day." I said, "Just give me a minute. Give me a minute." I went to my bedroom. I just told God, "I'm here again. I need to preach." And then we had a very good fellowship again with the people I preached that night, that evening. And we had a very good fellowship again. And I think there's something there that you won't be there, brothers. People are so sweet. When you preach to them, it's like they are getting it. They are, the wonder is like, gone, like that. And when that happens, some things even come and you didn't plan and you go with them. It's like you're running with them. And it's so good, brothers. It's just so good. It's just so good. So, now, from there, that Tuesday I preached in my house. And from there, every Tuesday, every Thursday, I was preaching, and people are coming. People who even are not able to come to the fellowship, they were coming. They were coming, and we had a very good time. Now, from there, on third, I left for Kisumu. I had some meetings in Kisumu, so I left for Kisumu. It turned out, and I felt like I've wasted much time, but this is a new ground that we're having. These people, I and my wife went there. Me and my wife went there one time. And they refused me to preach. But now, something has happened to them. They want me there. In fact, I didn't want to go. I told them I wanted to fly because I feel like I don't have time. I wanted to fly from Nairobi to Kisumu, have a minister's meeting, and then I fly back to Nairobi and that's all. Because it's a place where when you drive, it's like a 12-hour drive. So I didn't want that. So they could not have the convention. But they persuaded me, brother. They said, "You can't do that. You can't do that." And I don't know really whether we really understand what kind of persuading it is. It's somebody like, please, begging you. "Did you know, brother, when I was coming, a brother called me, 'You mean you're not coming?'" That's in Mombasa. There's a brother Kibi from Mombasa, Mpeketoni, Lamu. You know, like you're going to Marindi up there. And I could have done that. But the problem is, but now I've realized they have a flight to Lamu. I said I can fly from Nairobi to Mombasa. But now there, we have about 8 hours drive on the road. I said, I can't have that because I don't have time. I'm going on Monday. So, no, brother, you can do that. You mean now? I said, because he was now persuasive, so persuasive. I said, okay, brother, let's just stop there and let's see how it's going to go. So now that told him there's a possibility. Because let's see how it's going to go. So, and that was now, I think, he wanted me to be there on Monday. On Monday, and that's where we're coming back. Because I told him Saturday and Monday, I got to beyond in my church on Sunday. Now he wanted that. I said, no, I can't do that. Do you know that he was telling me, why don't you, brother, if you have money, why don't you do this? Why don't you cancel your ticket? You can't be with us because everybody is waiting for you. Cancel your ticket and then come be with you. And then that's how much they want it. And sometimes they could not. Something has happened, Brother Don. Those people could not, you know that. So those people could not even listen to me. And so when I say he's come, and these things like that, and the things like that, I've married a white girl, and then all the, they could not, now they want it. They want it so bad, they're saying, why don't you, and everybody is, he was asking me, how do I tell people that you're not coming? I said, my brother, I can't do it. I got to go, I have my children, and I'm going with them. So like that. So that is how I was persuaded to go to Kisumu. Even though there's no ministry meeting, there will be people gathered for the whole church. So the whole church gathered on Sunday, and we had that, and they said, promise us. This is how we parted. Promise us, brother, that when you come, you put us on the diary, that we are one of the people that you visit. I said, I will promise that. As much as is within my ability, I will try to do that. And so I went there. That was on that Sunday, and I preached there. So from there, on 27th, and every other Tuesday, and every other Thursday, I preached in my house. I think there's one that we preached at Brother Macharius. There's one Thursday. There's a brother who passed on. He was a deacon. And he was our Michael there. In the church, he was our Michael there, doing everything. And that is true. Brother Don has pictures of him. He doesn't even, that brother who passed on, he doesn't even, when you start there and you're just enjoying the fellowship, talking, he just knows how to serve God, and he takes his bike, and he had a bike that time, and he just tied the drums and everything from the bag of the church that carries the book and ties them. So Brother Don, we see him there on a bike riding back home, and he would take some pictures like that. Now he passed on, and so we decided that we have. And I think you people also remember, I don't know whether you remember, you helped in building that wall for her, for the sister, because we wanted her to be in a secure place. And she has a very good place now, secure. When she rocks the gate, she's there. And you people did a very good job, and she's very thankful. So we usually have a fellowship there on Thursday. I think I don't know how they count it, but one Thursday is there. So we had, and then from there, we had a minister's meeting on... this minister's meeting was on that first. On that first of June, we had a minister's meeting. Very many people came from different places, from very, very far. So I actually had to put some in a hotel room. Because there were so many, I had to put them in a hotel room. I spent about $50. It's not very expensive hotel room. I just went there and got... I spent about $50. I put them... about 10 brothers, maybe 11 brothers, I put them in a hotel room. They could not go back. There's a church in Mombasa Road. That's where some brothers had come. Those are new places. Those are new places that I met last December. Those are new places, but they are brothers. They're hungering, and you see that. They want this. They want this too bad. I mean, so much. And it is a bunch of people that does not have nothing else in their heads. except this. This is all they want. They don't seem good or bad or whatever. They're there for this. And they can do anything. They can do anything. They can walk distances. Some of them walk very long ways to go for church. So and some of them, you look at them and you want to buy. I'm not trying to. You won't buy some shoes for them. Amen. Their shoes are gone. And you look at that, you feel so bad. I mean, that you're not able to do it. But they don't care. They don't care how you judge. They don't care. They just want to come and listen. We had a very, very good ministry meeting. But one of the things that brothers, I found out in this ministry meeting is that we had different groups. And that's why people hate ministry meeting. People hate ministry meeting because of the different groups. I was not the chairman, but I was the chairman. And there are brothers feeling like, why don't they know this? Why don't they know? Just shut them up. I said, no, brother. Let everybody say what they think is the truth. And I don't remember what we were talking about. I think we were talking about, I think we were talking about the rapture. How are we all in the rapture and things like that? And the thing is, if you separate, because these people are not agreeing, and one of them stood up and said, brother, I'll never come to this ministry meeting again. If the brothers don't believe this, to him it's so simple. To him it's so simple that they are supposed to believe that we are in the rapture. And I told him, brother, if you are of course, we talk in standard. We say standard 1, standard 2 in Kenya. I told him, remember, if you're in standard 7, a person in standard 1 looks like, why doesn't he know this algebra? Is that right? let him come up. You come up. And I talked to him, and the following day, he said, brother, you have the right spirit. And he almost crying. He was almost crying when he was telling that. And he was so happy again that I brought him to a place where, of course, it's after talking. We had fellowship. Even before I took them to the hotel, to the hotel room, we sat down and talked. We had another ministry meeting in the hotel, in a restaurant. So in all this, you see that those people, when we parted, they were all not seeing exactly one with another, but they were all very patient with one another. And I like that. And he said, brother, you've helped me. I'll always come when the brothers are gathering in. And it's a very good bunch of ministers. I told them, another thing that I'm fighting is, you know, when you do those things, they want, and brother, that's exactly true. They want to bring me here. And I want to clash that. Let me say this for avoidance of doubt. Maybe some of them are listening in. This idea that there's somebody who is greater than the other is not of God. We are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters. Period. There's no bigger brother, smaller. There's nothing like that in the kingdom of God, brothers. And that mentality, people have gotten it. And you people, sometimes, not you people, I'm sorry for that. People make somebody big.
That's right.
And now, if there's somebody big who is being made big, is not careful, he would like to stay here. And I don't want to stay there. We are simply brothers. There's no bigger brother, smaller brother, this brother. We are all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We don't have a bishop. You know, sometimes we have bishops. You know, bishops. We have bishops in our head. You're not saying it, but you have bishops in your head. So. No, we are all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Period. There's nothing big or hot.
Yeah.
And of course, when I go there, and you can feel like that. You can feel like that because, you know, every question they ask, They all go around. They say, What is God saying about this? And then I wake up. And as you know me, I'm not shy. So I'm going to start up and say, I don't say nothing until the prophet says it. Then somewhere I'm going to say this, and answer that question. Another question than that. And that makes them look to me like I'm somebody. And I got to crush that. I take my time before I leave there to crush that. I don't want that. Let me tell you, brothers, you can have a bishop. I can be a bishop. I'm not saying it, I'm a bishop. I'm not saying it. Nobody's saying it. But it doesn't matter. God does not look at what you're saying or doing. God looks at what, if you look at a woman and desire him, you have committed adultery with him. Is that right? If you take me as a bishop, I'm a bishop. And I take myself, I'm a bishop mentally. I don't want that.
Amen.
We are brothers. Well, I have more revelation than you. You know, and every time we think that we have more revelation than the other. No, brother, listen very carefully. What happens is, you know this, and I don't know. And I know this, and you don't know.
Amen.
If we dig down a bit, there's something else, maybe God has revealed to you this first, before me. Is that right? But he also reveals sometimes, or even sisters, he reveals something before he reveals it to you. Because God is God. Do you see that? So if you know something more than I do, don't feel like you're somebody. And that's the problem we have. And now the people who are made like that by the congregation, they want to stay there. They did that to the prophet, brothers. Do you remember that? They were even baptizing in his name because they were calling him Jesus. What did he say? That Antichrist. And he said, I'll quit preaching. He said, I would better God get me as a quitter than Antichrist. Don't get those positions, brother. This is it, brother Joe. We are brothers and sisters, period.
Amen.
There's nothing bigger, nothing.
Amen.
Don't have that kind of mentality.
Amen.
If you have that kind of mentality, now you're getting into denominationalism. Get out of there! Praise be to God. So those ministers meeting, and I told them, no, listen, you're not going to meet, because now they meet only when I'm there. Then that group, they meet only when I'm there. And they're asking me, when do you come back? When I ask them, when else do you meet? They say, when do you come back? They said, no, I don't want that. You meet. Get a date, whether I'm there or not. I'm a nobody. Praise be to God. That's why people, my daughters have told me, don't say those words that you're nobody. You know why I say that, my daughter? It's because somebody wants to make me somebody. I'm not. I'm a brother, simply. I'm a brother. That's why Brother Bram refused to be even called a prophet. He said, call me a brother, period. Amen. And you got to crush those spirits. Because sometimes they even come on you.
Amen.
They come on you and you feel like you're somebody. Better than who told you you're better than a brother? No, you're not. We are all brothers and sisters before the eyes of God. Praise be to God. So we had that ministry meeting. It was very good. Now on 1st of June, again, we had a very, very, and that's what I'm saying. When I go, people here and there, they gather. So we had very many people. Like, you know, the hall of the church where you go to church, Brother Don, we had two classes. They opened the other class. They opened the other wall, and we had the whole place. It was full of people from different churches. They all come, brother. We had three sermons. I preached three sermons. And you know, we had the ministry meeting the previous day. Now here, we had three meetings, three services. We had three services. I really got tired. That time, I feel like my body now. I think that evening or the following days when you're calling me. and I heard Sister Rhoda say, you are tired, brother. Yes, I was. I think I was. I feel like my body now is getting it now. It's getting the hit of it. And yeah, I was really tired. And I felt I could have done better if I was not, if there were two services. I was getting now, my body was now getting, and again, I was not being able to eat very well. And that really took a bit of my body. But the Lord did it. It was a great thing. And everybody, in fact, one of the brothers said, because he got me aside and told me, brother, this is where we really get these things. And he told me, is from Kibwezi. Why don't we gather together and build a church? Because we gather in school. And he was saying, what if they are doing something and they refuse us to be in school? That we will cancel our meetings? I said, that's a good idea, brother. And you think about that. I told him that. In other words, they want us to be together. They want us to be gathering together more. And we come as often as possible. So they're deciding that. So I'm done now. I'm done now. Except now on that was Sunday. Now I preached on Tuesday in my house, and that Tuesday that was coming, that was that. And the fourth, that was on a Wednesday. This was a very, very, very busy day. A brother called me. He wanted to meet me for 3 hours. I said, I can't give you 3 hours. And he said, he's going to come at 7. I said, I can't give you 3 hours because I have another brother who is coming sometimes. So, and when they come, they're not coming for nothing. They are coming for quotes on this. Why this? That's all they... We don't do nothing else there. We don't do... It's not business. This is the business. So that brother said, I would come this. I said, no. And it was a bit late, so I gave him under 1 hour. Because the other brother, this was a very busy day for me. And other days were also like that. But this is, that was particularly busy. Because from 7, and then he came a little bit, and I gave him 1 hour. Then Brother Gicho came, that was Brother Chiroge, Brother Gicho came, Brother Francis came. He had some things. Brother Francis, you know Brother Francis, Daddy. Is Brother Francis on there. And he had some questions, and then we talked about that, and it was very good. And from there, at 11, I think midday, they had gathered some people for me. They are elderly people, a certain place where it's a bit remote. So they wanted me to go there and speak in Kikuyu. For elderly people who sometimes don't understand what you're saying, even when it's interpreted in Swahili. So they wanted me to, and they usually come to church. So the church organized for me, and I went there. And it turned out to be another big, big service. Everybody come from neighborhood, they gather together outside. And the Lord came down, anointing. It was a great, a mighty way. And everybody like that. And they said that they'll be coming to church after that. And you know, I don't know how to talk to non-believers. But somehow, God just comes and you don't know what comes. And you bring it, and you bring it. And when I cut it short, the brothers were not happy. The brother Joshua, and they were not happy. They said, brother, you could have continued. But again, now, that afternoon, I had another meeting, another preaching. I went to Kebororo. They were also gathered there, and they were waiting for me. And my car is doing very well. My car is serving me very well in Kenya. So I drove very fast. I left them there. They had not even finished. In fact, Bill had their baby, and his brother Joshua had their babies. I told them, now, I think maybe you get a Uber or something, because I cannot take you. I'm going to leave you. And I felt for them, and I told them what to do, to get another vehicle, because I'm going with this. So I drove very fast again. I went to Kebororo, and I found them still waiting for me. I was late already, because it's another hour to drive there. And I found them, and they're waiting for me. And I preached until, I think, 9 o'clock in the night. I didn't even know time, but they're there. They say, amen, brother, continue. And I didn't know. By the time I looked at time, it was so late already. And it was very interesting. When I finished, and I was preaching about the, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, of this evening. I was talking about Revelation 10. This is Revelation 10. And the pastor there and the elder said to me, brother, where do you get those things? How do you get them? I said, I can say it's just by God. I mean, it's just by God's grace. Because they said they've never heard them. They've never heard those things. The thing is, the main thing is, these people are hungering. They are hungering. They are hungering, and they can do anything. And then I had another meeting before that. I had to meet to some other people. So I left. Those people were still waiting for me. And I had got there. And I spent about 45 minutes or so. I said, it's too late. I'm tired. I've got to go to sleep. And I assured you, I was tired. And I left them. Now, from there, I continued with the fellowships in my house until 8th. 8th, I had, that was my last day in Kenya. I had my, and this brother is still disturbing me very much in Mombasa. He said, we cancel it, cancel it. No, I can't do that. So, so on that Sunday, we had the service. We had only one service. And then we had the interviews. I kept the people so much, not on the service, but on the whole day. Because I told the elders, we got to talk before I go. We had a meeting with the elders, and they had some questions, how to run this, how to run that. But first, there were some people, everybody wanted me alone. And there's only two brothers who saw me, the two of them. I think they had something, they weren't disagreeing on, and they had to come together. I told them, everybody, 5 minutes. And they were lining up. They wanted to see me. 5 minutes. And one of them said, no, you cannot give me 5 minutes. No, it's not. I said, that's okay. We stayed there. I think I was living there. Just like the previous Sunday, I was living there around 7. I was leaving the church around 7. This time, I was also leaving the church around 7. So after that, we had the elders meeting. They had the questions on the message, the questions about the elder, the questions of some things that had happened in the church, and we had to talk about it. Not that I'm anybody. I'm a nobody. But when they want to talk, we can talk. And I give them the chance also to hear their opinion. I don't sit here like I'm the, and that's the thing that I hate. I hate so much. And that's why my daughter, I would like to tell you people that this is why I say it. From the onset, I let them know, listen, I'm a nobody. I don't want them, this mentality that we are coming to the great person. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. And brothers, let me say this. I'm honestly saying this. I don't want that. I don't like it. Don't come to me like I'm a somebody. I'm a nobody. I'm your brother. Let's sit down. Let's discuss it. I may say something that you like. That's okay. You also may say something that I like. So I don't sit there before them. So from the onset, I tell them, remember, I'm a nobody. Let's go it now. You knowing that I'm a nobody. I don't want to take me as anybody. I'm your brother. I'm simply your brother. And we are all together in this. And after that, so I went home. I realized I had not even packed. Actually, it's Meda who packed for me. He said, Daddy, I know you're full of pack. Let's go pack. Meda packed for me. And the following day, I still had some meetings that are here, some things that I had to talk about and leave, because now I'm leaving. But we left on Monday. We come to Aladdin. That I wanted to tell you that, so that you, because I felt sorry that most of the people wanted to, and I told boss, most of the people would like to come to the airport to get us. But now, it might not happen because of what happened. So what happened was, when we were booking, we booked the flight for me. We booked the boss and Mida from Nairobi to London to Dublin and to Charlotte. So when my wife was now booking for me, because we found out that if we booked a round trip from here to Kenya and back, and then from Kenya to Pakistan and back to Kenya, that was better and cheaper. So that's what we did. So finally, here we could not get my seat in the same flight with Bosworth and Nida from London to Dublin. And it's about an hour drive. It's an hour flight or something, an hour and something flight. So my wife thought that's okay. And we thought that's okay. So I went in a different flight to Dublin, and I left them. That means difference. So somehow they got late. They were not able to get to the immigration people. The immigration that you find here, I think called border patrols, they're there.
Customs and immigration,
they are there in Dublin. Not in Charlotte, they're in Dublin. And I said, and I saw those things, those badges on their shoulders. I said, you guys are our guys in America. What are you doing here? And they said, we're everywhere. And they cleared me. They told me to go back there. They got my box. They got my suitcases from the flight, from the plane. And for the one for Bosworth and one for the big suitcases. And we had to check them. They had to search them. They really did a thorough job. But all the same, they were very friendly. We are talking there. That woman told me where she's coming from. She came from here. I think she came from California or something like that. And we were good friends, and everything was good. But now, when I went to the flight, we had only about 15 minutes, the flight. And it did stop me. I tried to call boss, and I tried everything. But that's how we were. To cut the long story short, the flight left us. But they were telling me to go and leave them. I said, no, I'm not going to leave my children back here. I'm going to wait for them. So I waited for them there. I waited for them. And when they come, we rebooked. Now we are here. We don't even have money. We don't have... And they don't like dollars there. They don't like dollars. They are very strict with their money. They love themselves, like I do. So we had to get a place like that to get a visas, because we got to get visas to get in the country. So finally, but we enjoyed. We enjoyed Dublin. We went there, strolling downtown, went somewhere, Japanese place we ate. We really enjoyed in Dublin finally. And my wife really helped us, because now we tried to get an Uber and we could not get. So we called my wife is very good at that, and he got us a number from here. He said, let's go there, outside there, and get an Uber this. And we went there, we get an Uber, and took us to town, and then we really enjoyed. The whole thing was very, very good. Sometimes you wonder why it's happening, but all is God's hand. Don't worry, if something like that, just relax. And sometimes at the end of it, you might not even see why has it happened. But let me say something. You know, you want a big thing. You want to see a big thing. But I'm telling you something. What was a big thing about us? What is a big thing about a squirrel? What is a big thing about a squirrel? God creating a squirrel? Do you get my point? This is my point.
Yeah.
Why does God create a squeeze for the brother? Squeeze. Why does God come from heaven and create a squeeze for Brother Branham? Those things that you think they're not big, they have significance before God. Let God do whatever He's got. Just relax. Just relax. You might even, I'm not even known. Why did that flight leave us? I don't know. I've never been to Dublin. I love Dublin. I went around. Is that important? I don't know. But I stayed in Dublin and I was happy. And my children, and I relaxed. We all relaxed. So, and the following day we come. And thank you very much. Brother Don told me, I want to cancel. I said, no, don't. He wanted to cancel the fellowship and they all come to the fellowship. I said, no, let's not do that. And we arrived and and we come here. Me and Bose were able to come. The girls were tired, and they were not able to come. So that's my report. And if anybody has a question, I would love to answer. Now, for the next about 5 minutes, what time is it? This is 12:50. Can you give me 15 minutes? Just 15 minutes. I see something about the message. I'll be happy to say something about the message. Okay. Just something small here. And I'm not going to read a quote. I'm just going to go to Revelation 10. I would have liked to go Revelation 10 step by step. The whole of Revelation 10. Why I got this? I'm calling it, and maybe we're going to, in the next sermon, we're gonna name it like this. We're going to call it, Who is the Angel of Revelation 10? Who is this angel in Revelation 10? I would like to bring something like that. But in the meantime, I would like to say this. I'm dividing Revelation 10 into three parts. Revelation 10, the whole of Revelation 10, I'm dividing it into three parts. The first part is not Revelation 10, 1 to 6. It's Revelation 1, 10, Revelation 10, 1 to 6. You get that? That's one part. The other part is Revelation 10, 7. That's another part. The other part is Revelation 10, 8 to 11. Those are three parts. Each part says something different. Now, to me, Revelation 10, 7 is the one which comes first. I just wanted to bring that. I may not be able to bring it now because of time, but I would like to bring that out. Revelation 10, 7 comes first. Then from Revelation 10, 7 comes Revelation 10, 1 to 6. Can you hear that? Then Revelation 10, 8 to 11. Okay, let me explain Revelation 10, 7. Okay, Revelation, which comes first. You can write it that like that. If I had a blackboard, I would have written Revelation 10, 7, number 1. Revelation 10, 1 to 6, number 2. Revelation 10, 8 to 11, number 3. That's how I divide it. And this is the way I see it. And again, brother, sister, it's just the way I see it. Maybe you have another way, and I would love for you to show me that other way. I'm ready to study. Now, I'm finishing this. Now, let me read Revelation 10, 7. Revelation 10, 7. Let me read just that, so that you understand what I mean. Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this is where most of the things happen. This is where most of the things happen. Oh, that's good. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, now in the days of the seventh, that the seventh angel is Brother Branham. The seventh angel is Brother Branham. In his days, that is in the seventh church age, that's the Revelation church age. Now, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? Which mystery? Now, the next verse we see it. As he had declared to his servants, the prophets. The prophets says, those prophets that you see there are the prophets who wrote the Bible. You know, look at that. Now, when the Bible is completely opened, the mystery that is in the Bible, the written mystery. That's a written mystery. The written mystery is Revelation 10:7. When it's open, when the Bible is completed and opened, and the Bible is opened, the book of redemption is opened not by seven seals. It is opened by six seals. That's a bit confusing. It's opened by six seals. The prophet says, the seventh brings him down.
Yes.
The seventh now, after the Bible is completed, after he reveals it, after it's completed and revealed, after it's opened, because his work was to open the written word. By the prophets, the prophets are the ones who wrote the Bible. But now we go to Revelation 10:1-6. What is Revelation 10:1-6? It is coming. That is the seventh seal. I have a quote. Revelation 10 is the seventh seal. The seventh seal which brings him down. So now he comes down from heaven. A mighty angel. I hope you get that. That's all I wanted to say. Now, if you read Revelation 10:1-6, that's about him coming. But at the end, Revelation 10:6. Can you bring Revelation 10:6, Brother Michael? Revelation 10:6. Revelation 10:6. And swear by him that liveth forever. You see what? He's not. But when he stepped, when he came down and stepped, he says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are. He's swearing in and says, which are therein, that there should be time no longer. What is time no longer? Such ages are over. But the end of the church ages. All the church ages are declared. It's over. He draws a line. It's over. The church ages are right. Where do we go now to? It comes to me now. Me and my bride. He says something has happened. Me now and my bride. And the churches and all the tears are bound together. They cannot come in. He's revealing himself now in judgment. Revelation 10:7. He's revealing himself in mercy. He's calling the three calls, the three pools. He's calling people in mercy, trying to tell them, get away from her, my people. After that, it's done. He's now revealing himself in judgment. Churches are over. He got his bride. The churches are judged. How is he revealing himself in judgment? He's revealing himself and death is in judgment. This group here is judged. No ray of hope. This other side, he's revealing himself to the bride. So he's revealing himself, yet in judgment. I hope you get that. That's what I'm looking at. Now, what about? Now, you can go to that dust. He's talking about that dust. He comes with a rainbow over his head. What's a rainbow? He's telling you, it's done. It's done. Now, when you see me here, it's done. How many testaments do we have? We have three testaments, two testaments. The Old Testament was finished when Jesus Christ came here. Do you see that? Now, the New Testament now is done. It's finished. It's done. Oh, the New Testament was about the church ages. It's done. The same time be no more. It's done and finished. Now, we are going to where me and bride and my bride are going to be together. And yet, here on earth, because the rest of the people are still here on earth, and he says, they're not going to be burned. There's a quote in the church ages. They are not going to be burned. The tears are bound together and they're not going to be burned now. So they'll be here. And the prophet said, there's no ray of hope for them. That's why in judgment. They are already judged. They cannot come here. You get that? Now, the other part, so I see what I finished now. The other part is Revelation 10:8-7. Go take that book. That must be the bride. The bride, go take that book. Eat it. It will be sweet in the mouth, but it will be bitter in the mouth, in the stomach, right? The prophet says, when John was told, come up thither, that was the type of the bride. It was the bride that was talking to. John is the type of the bride. So the bride, John being told, go eat that book, and it will be bitter. And then you're going to prophesy. You're going to go to the world and display that Christ to the world. The wife of the bride is, he's become him. Is to display him here on earth. You prophesy to kings and everything. After this, praise be to God. That's how I divide the book of Revelation. That was a very short sermon. Bear with me. Praise be to God. Let's stand up. Maybe Brother Don can come and finish for us. Brother Don, or you can call whoever you want to call.
That was wonderful, brother. God bless you so much.
I know you enjoyed that so much. Did you feel like you were there?
Amen. Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about Brother TB lately, different reasons. But that was something he always told me after I give a mission report. He said, Brother, he said, that was so good. He said, I felt like I was there. And it just, I hope you felt that way. Yeah. And for me, it brought tears to my eyes because those things are so real. You're among a people that are so poor. Mm-hmm. They don't have nothing. They don't have nothing. They don't have the comforts. Mm-hmm. And they will give you anything and everything. Mm-hmm. They want to give you the very best that they have. And you can't imagine a person standing over you, fanning you with a fan. Mm-hmm. Because they know that you're miserable. Mm-hmm. And that you're not used to that. Mm-hmm. I remember the early days in... You feel bad. You feel bad while they're doing it. You feel like you've never had this. Nobody's ever done this. And you feel bad. Brother Benjamin knows. I've sat there just tired and wore out. And some brother comes stand over me. And I'll fall asleep for 2 or 3 hours and wake up. And he's still standing there fanning me. Can you imagine? Could we do that to somebody? Could we do that? I thought Brother Goomba talking about he didn't want to leave the room. Just take me to preach and bring me back. Just let me study. Let me pray. Let me be ready. There's something about it. It does something to you. Amen. And sometimes you might go places and those people totally reject you, but God is letting that anointing come so powerful for you. For you, blessing you, for your what you're doing, and how you're giving yourself to Him. And I've seen sometimes they were accepting. No, I was listening to the message online, live online, when Brother Goomba was telling those people, I don't think you're believing what I'm saying. I can feel it. I can feel it. I heard him talking to him and telling them, I don't think you're agreeing with what I'm saying. And that's there. You get so, I say, close to God. You get so sensitive. That's something that I always loved on the mission field is you forget about work, you forget about everything, and it's just you and God. And you get that time. And I think maybe over 10 years before I ever would go anywhere. I think maybe it was 15 years on the mission field. Coming out of India one time, I stopped at the Taj Mahal. I wouldn't go anywhere. Of course, we were so much in the bush, too. But this brother, I was with you all the way. And everything he said, it just screams reality of the mission field. It's just true. He told you just the way it is. And... it was powerful. It touched me. Some of the things he said about Kenya, so true too. You can't imagine being put out of churches because of mixed marriage. And that it happened to him. It happened to me. One place I got back in after 2 years, it was a little over 2 years, maybe 3 years, we got back some fellowship but for a long time. But the thing that's getting them, and that's what Brother Goomba's saying, the thing that's getting them is they're not understanding some things about you. It's just like they did with Jesus. They didn't understand some things about this man, this flesh, human man. But the word, God is making that word do something to them.
Amen.
He's making that word stir their hearts.
Amen.
And they can't get away from that. And that's another thing he said. When God starts working, you can't get away from it. You can't run. You can't hide. You can't get away from when God starts quickening that seed. You're going to come to Him. You might try to get away. You might. You might go the long way. Brother Branham said, He's going to bring you.
Amen.
He's the one who draws you. He's the one. Your flesh might try to start some other direction, but God is going to get you because you're His. You're that seed.
Amen.
And so this was just wonderful, brother.
Amen.
I wish that every one of you could just one time have that privilege to go there. And you would cry every time a man comes back. You would cry every time because you would see it. You would know the reality of what it is. And it does something to you. It's a really blessing. I was going to say a number of things, but I don't want to keep you. We're looking for some good fellowship. I want to say, I forgot to mention this morning that Sister Juanita was going to be out today. She'll be back on Wednesday. I don't know if she went to Florida or what, but she did tell me last week that she was going to be gone today, and I forgot about it. So I didn't mention. I want to remind you also, we'll be leaving on Tuesday. I'm going to take my mom back to Florida to the family there, and we'll be back on Saturday. So Brother Gumba said he would minister on Wednesday, and so we appreciate that. And you come up behind this, and you just want to talk about it. There's so many things I'd love to say and share because it was so good, and it just takes your heart. It takes your heart right back there to those days, and the heat, you can't imagine the heat. I hadn't been to Pakistan, but I know India. There was times traveling, you get there in the wrong month, and the air is so hot, you feel like you've opened an oven door, and it's like it's not breathable air. It's so hot, you're just it's amazing. It's just amazing. And those people live in it. Huh? That's our little few days there. Those people live in that day in and day out. And so, but they're happy. They're happy. And when you come, and let me say something out about this nobody over here. I appreciate that. And I appreciate him killing that spirit.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Amen.
But we respect the gift.
Yes.
That God puts in every brother and every sister.
Amen.
We respect the gift that God has given Brother Gumba and these ministers, Brother Michael, Brother Benjamin, Brother Chris, each one. And then not just the ministers, but in every person,
yes,
in every member of the body of Jesus Christ,
yes,
God has put a gift in you. And so we thank Him so much for that. And I told you, I'm sorry to keep you standing just a couple more minutes. I told you I've been thinking about Brother TB a lot lately. And Brother TB, he helped me a lot over the years. And we worked at the church a lot together. And then after he passed, he had a hat. He had a hat. And that hat he'd wear when it was hot out. And so one day Reuben was helping me work on this house, on this porch, putting this porch on this house over here. He worked for me a few days, and he gave me the hat. And so the hat hung in one of these trailers out here for a long time. And then I think it was Benjamin, I don't know, but Benjamin took it off the trailer, and it's been hanging in the building for quite some time. That hat, that was Brother TB's hat. So I think he's brought it home now. So I was out there mowing the other day, and it was so hot. And he walked out there, and he put it on my head, and it felt about 10 degrees cooler. It was a real blessing. But when I seen it in the church, I thought, he's right here with us. He's right here with us. You talk about an elder. You talk about a Christian. You talk about a brother. That man was an example. He was an
Amen.
Example. He's elder. And so good. so good. And but it meant a lot to me. And it's just an old wore out hat. But it's precious, the memories that it brings. Now I want to welcome again the visitors today. We don't want you to be visitors. We want you to come every time and fellowship with us. And then we want to say again for Bosworth and Meta, welcome to our fellowship. Welcome to America. I hope you didn't come here to be American. You just came here to be a Christian. Just a Christian.
Amen.
Just be satisfied with that. He said, we're not Americans, we're not Africans, we're Christians.
Christian.
And that's all we want to be, is just Christians believing this last day message.
Amen.
And so that's so good. Does anybody want to say anything? Anybody have anything they would like to say before we close? Okay, let us bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we feel so blessed this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you could put that desire in a man, that not thinking of himself, not thinking of the discomfort and the heat, the trials, the trouble, the tiredness, not thinking of none of those things, only wanting one thing, Lord, and that's to speak your word. Lord, that he would please you. Lord, that desire that you put within him, Lord, that he would please you. And Lord, to feel that great anointing, Lord. There's no way to describe it. There's no way to tell people what it really is when you're there and you feel all alone as he did. No other black people, Lord, nobody else that looked like him. He just alone. But Lord, you were there. You were there and you blessed him and you anointed him over and over and over. And Lord, it gave him that assurance. It gave him that comfort. Lord, it gave him that to know that he was pleasing you. And Lord, even when he felt like he had come short somewhere, didn't do just, it wasn't the best that he wanted it to be, Lord, you brought it up to where it needed to be. And we thank you and praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for that honesty, just to put everything just like it was. Not just make it some glorious thing and everything was just great. Lord, it was just how you wanted it, how it was supposed to be. And Lord, then to deliver it back to the people just like that. Too many, Lord, try to help God. Let it be just like you did it, Lord, just like you said it. That's the perfection of it. Not what somebody can imagine. Lord, may you just bless us as we go now, Lord, for some natural food and some fellowship. May you bless each one. Bless those that are away. And Lord, bless Brother Goomba, Lord, for this great message today, Lord, of talking about the trip and the great things that you led him through. And Lord, also to bring his family back. Lord, bless them. Bless Bosworth and Meta now as they enter into the fellowship here. And Lord, their work, whatever they do, Lord, may you bless all. And give them the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, they would just be another great expression of you, Lord, in this place. As we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.